Excuse me. According to my clock, it is 9:59. I'm just waiting for it to roll over. Ten o'clock, 9:81, please. Time certain.
Mm-hmm. Office of Equity and Human Rights, 2018 report.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I know that we're both very excited about this report, welcoming staff to the dais. And we're particularly pleased, both of us having worked on this, the Mayor's staff and Mayor and I, that this year it's rather a different report. It's in a video form and then a discussion. There has been an ongoing process over the last several months that the Mayor has led with my input on the future of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And this is kind of the end, both the end of the previous year for the office. It's also the end of that planning process, and it's the council's opportunity to have a discussion. Obviously, we can't go to a focus group outside of a public hearing to give our input on what each commissioner would like to see happen in the Office of Equity and Human Rights. Unusually, I have asked the Mayor if we can take public testimony at the end of this report. We still need to be within the 45 minutes, but I think it's also the community's opportunity to anybody who hasn't been involved in any of the process over the last several months to come and give us a couple of minutes on their input. I am really excited to be back in charge of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. I helped Mayor Sam Adams created it in 2011, and it's been operational since the first director was hired in March of 2012. And we've come a long way. Back then, well, I'll let the video speak for itself, and then I'll have some more comments on the end. And invite Interim Director Kofi Desu to introduce this item.
Thank you. My name is Kofi Desu. I'm the Interim Director for the Office of Equity and Human Rights. Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Udeli, Commissioner Fish, thank you for the opportunity to present our report today. This report has two parts. The first part is the video, which will serve as a documentary for Portlanders but other communities that are interested in learning about what we have done. The second part will be an overview of a few things that were not included in the video that is a PowerPoint presentation. So without further delay, I would like us to watch the video, and then I will follow up with the PowerPoint presentation.
I think that I see a number of roles for the Office of Equity and Human Rights. One, you are a driver of the racial equity standard. Doesn't mean that you have to do it by yourselves, but you have the information. You inform electeds. We have responsibility to govern racially, economically, equitably. You also are a catalyst for people to actually be able to be galvanized by the work of racial equity, and how do we get as much leverage around being a racially equitable learning city where we listen, we learn, and then we lead on it as we do on other things that matter to Portland. That's hopeful to me, and that's something that I'm willing to be engaged in and supportive of in every way that I can. So the history of the office actually begins with community, as it should. There were a couple of very powerful reports that came out from the Coalition of Communities of Color, where folks got together and worked with PSU to say, really, how are communities of color faring in Multnomah County? And the results were pretty devastating. There were terrible disparities.
And so after the Coalition's publication, I I went upstairs to Sam Adams and I said, we're not just going to put these on the shelf, right? Because we had that presentation at council and I was really concerned that we say, oh, this is terrible. Somebody should do something about this. So I went and talked to Sam and we then and there decided we're going to do something about this. And we're going to listen to the community to figure out what that's going to be. But it was, I think, 32 community leaders for the most part, some city staff, but many, many community leaders, both communities of colour and people from a lot of different leadership positions. And they said, city needs to put its house in order. So that's what we did. That's what the Office of Equity and Human Rights was set up with.
You know, it was very controversial when it first came before council. It was not a slam dunk, but I was persuaded it was time. Commissioner Fritz made a very compelling argument, and as did the community members who came before us.
So we were fortunate to have city council members who were on board of what the community was asking for. I believe that the Office of Equity and Human Rights is standing on many shoulders, and I believe that many initiatives have started, you know, like Vision PDX that was started under Mayor Porter. And all the community organizations and community leaders that worked hard to create a framework for equity in the city of Portland. In fact, Commissioner Fritz insisted that on top of, you know, centering racial equity, we should also center disability equity, and requested that, you know, the Portland Commissioner on Disability, for example, and the Human Rights Commission be housed in the Office of Equity and Human Rights.
I think one of the sort of maybe least understood parts of our work is when we talk about doing the inside first, getting our own house in order. Some people have determined that that means that somehow the outside work, which means where community exists, is not our concern. It couldn't be further from the truth. Everything we do in the city is about changing the outcomes in the community.
Well, the Office of Equity and Human Rights is charged with setting the equity policy for the city. It's important to have shared language and common terminology when we're talking about this concept. One of the ways we establish that is through Equity 101 training. Equity 101 is required for all city staff. We've trained over 5,000 city employees at this point, and that includes everyone working in the city, someone working on a water crew or out in the maintenance yard or in a cubicle, or city elected leaders and their staff members as well. It's required for everyone. We start off by looking at institutional racism and systemic racism, and we look at the history of racism in our country, but also here in Oregon. By understanding that history, you realize that so many community members are still living with the ghosts of that history, and then not everybody gets to start at the same place. We're often asked, why center on race? Well, race is still consistently a primary indicator of a person's success and wellness in our society. It's tough for some to realize that by prioritizing our efforts on the deepest disparities, we build a system that works better for all Portlanders. You can take a look at gender pay gaps and see that women are making less than men. If you use a racial equity lens, you'll see that women of color make less than white women. So by centering the conversation on women of color, then you can really remove barriers for everyone in that situation. Another example is when the arts tax process was rolled out. You could only pay with a credit card online. When we were approached to apply our racial equity lens, we knew that many Portlanders of color didn't have credit cards or internet access. Our recommendations helped the Revenue Bureau revise its process to allow folks to pay in a variety of ways and also in person if they wanted to. And that's just a quick example of how centering on race removed barriers for everyone.
Civil rights, Title 6 and ADA Title 2 basically say that
no person in the United States on the grounds of race, color, national origin, or disability can be excluded from participation in, denied the benefits of, or subject to discrimination under any program, service, or activity of a government. Our approach to civil rights is actually vastly different than a lot of other jurisdictions. And this means that we kind of look beyond compliance. We've seen that when you look at the implementing regulations of civil rights and you look at equity best practices, they're kind of one and the same. Are we engaging communities that are the most underrepresented? Are we looking at using data to make decisions? Are we making sure that we're focusing on the needs and priorities? Are we using targeted universalism in our approach? And how does that follow through all the way from planning, policy, into service delivery? And again, really focusing on creating accountability measures within our government bureaus, so we're implementing those within the process, but we're also focused on the results for the community.
So the Disability Equity Program is essentially a twofold program. One part of it is the Commission on Disability, which is an advisory body to City Council, and it's made up of individuals with lived experience with disability from the community that sit on the commission.
It's a two-way street. They bring issues to us, we bring issues to them, and as time goes by, we're trying more and more to bring them in on every conversation where they could have an impact. One of those conversations was about the Rothko Pavilion at the Portland Art Museum. Currently, the art museum is pretty challenging to navigate on wheels. Or with someone on wheels, and there were concerns in the community that the pavilion would actually make entering the museum less accessible. So we were able to connect PCOD with leadership at the museum, and they engaged in conversations, and I think that they've come up with amicable agreement, and I think we are going to, well, I know we're going to have a much more accessible museum beginning with the entrance and continuing throughout the facility.
The other part of the job is the policy advisement, which is what I do. I've been with the city for 12 years now and have been a part of a lot of the big changes and innovations that the city has done to be more inclusive with people with disabilities. Some of the changes that have happened in Portland are things like an adaptive bike program. We're one of very few cities that are major cities that have an adaptive bike program. The other really big one, and the one I'm most proud of, is our private for hire policy, which says anyone, any single company operating in the city of Portland has to provide wheelchair accessible transportation. There is no other city that is mandating that.
The purpose of Black Male Achievement is to improve life outcomes for Black men and boys. Black Male Achievement was created with the intention of centering Black men and boys in that improvement. So we have a steering committee of 25 Black men, and then we have our subcommittees that each focus on a specific target area: education, employment, justice system, and family stability. So through looking at these four different areas, and as well looking at the intersectionality of them, and centering Black men and boys in that work as to where the issues are and what the potential solutions are, we're able to start bringing about some change. You know, I think of the young man who we stayed in touch with after the summer program, who presented very well, and in all the conversations that we had throughout the years at that point, seemed like the type of young man that would achieve at a high level with very little support. And come to find out at his university that he had some significant learning ability issues. He had some things that he needed to address if he was going to be successful in a college setting. What we were able to do was, first of all, provide that support network to remind him of who he is, to remind him of the success that he's already attained at that point, and then also to make sure that we put that lens on him about accountability. You know, you do have this thing going on, and we're here with you, and we expect big things from you. and we're gonna come to collect on those big things that we expect, right? So through our work with him supporting, and it was many, many men in the network of BMA that continued to support him. He was able to get back into school. He was able to work with his professors, with his counselors, and really get onto a track where it became less of just him presenting well and more of him being well at his core.
Portland's Human Rights Commission is an all-volunteer advisory body. The commissioners are appointed by City Council, and their role is to advise council and city leadership on applying a human rights lens to policy and procedures.
They've been very active, very engaged, helping to provide both a forum for people to express concerns that they have around human rights, but also to give the council really solid advice on ways that we can strengthen human rights here in the Portland area.
In 2017, Mayor Wheeler came to the Human Rights Commission meeting. During the conversation with the mayor, the Human Rights Commission talked about how the threat of undoing the DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, was really threatening Portlanders and Oregonians. Then Commissioner Fish brought a resolution about DACA and the importance of supporting DACA. And we were invited, the HRC was invited to give testimony. Daniel Franco Nunez, our HRC commissioner, who is a DACA recipient himself, gave testimony, really personal testimony, on this issue, highlighting the fact that there's 11,000 Oregonians who are DACA recipients.
One key institutional tool that the Office of Equity and Human Rights has helped to create and establish within the City of Portland is the Budget Equity Assessment Tool. City bureaus have to apply equity lens to their budget allocations, thinking about the impact of the budget on communities that we serve.
I wanted to make it very clear when I became mayor that equity was going to be one of the key determinants of our budget process. We were going to make sure that equity was front and center. And so the equity engagement tool that we actually use during the budget process makes sure that's the case. And in fact, the director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights sits at the table right alongside the budgeting team when we're making decisions about the budget.
I think we've made an impact. We have a lot of things that have changed in terms of the institution. We have the budget equity tool. We have the racial equity goals and strategies. We have the five-year racial equity plans. We have the transition plan for around disability. We have, and there's just so much more to do.
My hopes for the Office of Equity and Human Rights to strengthen our relationship with communities that have demanded the creation of the office, to strengthen our partnership with the bureaus, to provide additional tools and additional education and training so that they can implement their plans.
So I think our city council has the ability, and I hope that they have the will, to literally lead on racial equity, racial justice, like we lead on bikes and all these other amenities of Portland.
Equity is a buzzword at City Hall, and I would like to see less lip service and more action. I'd also like to see the Office of Equity and Human Rights given more authority to implement these policies and really influence every bureau.
And I want to relentlessly hold people's feet to the fire here in the city to achieve the goals that we've set for the city. And if we do that, everybody wins. Everybody wins. We have a more diverse, better equipped, more experienced workforce, more connected to the community with greater opportunities for people in our community. It's a win-win-win. And I think we've made some important first steps, and I look forward to the next chapter.
This community is unsustainable if we don't have everybody succeed. And so that's, I think, essential work that I'm really proud of having helped start, committed to continuing to support as long as I'm in office and as long as I'm alive.
director, can I ask you, did you do this film, you produced in-house? Well, congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. I was going
Jeff
to.
Jeff may have had something to do with this, but.
I was going to say that, Jeff Selby, thank you for making this documentary. I have some experience in editing videos, and it's not easy. It's not easy. So, thank you, Jeff. I want to take this time to acknowledge the staff of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. We already called Jeff Selby. We have Nicole, Tatiana. I'm just going to say the names. If they are here, they can show a hand or stand up so people can see them. Judith Maury, Danielle Brooks, C.J. Robbins, Capua Foster, Jonathan Simeone, Grace Hallett Labrador. I want also to acknowledge Matt Lim from the Bureau of Technology Services, who helped us collect data and make them available for the city and the public.
Could we suspend the rules for a moment? Thank you.
Thank you. We also have the Portland Commission on Disability. Many of them are here today. They have postponed one of their meetings to come here and be present with us. We also have the Human Rights Commission and a Bureau Advisory Committee. So to start with my PowerPoint presentation, I want to remind people of the vision of the office. The vision of the Office of Equity and Human Rights is a city that works for all Portlanders.
Carla, can you please run the PowerPoint? Thank you.
A city that works for all Portlanders. That's our vision. The mission of the office is to provide education and technical support to city staff and elected officials, leading to recognition and removal of systemic barriers to fair and just distribution of resources, access, and opportunity, starting with issues of race and disability. The Office of Equity and Human Rights is continuing to normalize equity within the city of Portland. In 2012, we had a student from Portland State University do some research on the city websites to identify the bureaus that mentioned equity. We only found 8 that mentioned equity without any detail. 3 years later, we had another student conduct the same research, and we found all the bureaus had equity in their significant documents, including their vision statement, mission statement, budget tools, strategic plans, and all the important documents that guide their programs and practices. We are influencing change through education and training based on our mission. And today we have trained more than 5,000 city employees. We have to often accommodate our trainees by going to training sometimes at 6 a.m. and sometimes at 9 p.m. We are also influencing change within the city by providing some tools. One of the tools is the citywide equity goals and strategies. We were fortunate to have the support from City Council that made the citywide equity goals and strategies a binding policy. And that binding policy is guiding each bureaus in the implementation of their racial equity plans.
We believe we have influenced change within the city of Portland through the demographic dashboards that is available on the website of the city, the Office of Equity and Human Rights. We could monitor the progress. And from 2013 to 2018, we have seen progress in the increase of the employees of color in the city of Portland. If we agree that our goal is to have a workforce that reflects the demographic of the population, we believe we are making progress, but we still have a lot of work to do. In 2013, 22.6% of the population of Portland is people of color, and 12% worked for the city. Today, in 2018, it's pretty much the same. 22% of people of color living in Portland. We have about 18% working for the city of Portland. So we can see from 12% to 18%, we have made progress. But we still have a lot of work to do, from recruitment to retention and promotion. The earnings of people of color have also increased significantly. We saw the increase from an overall earnings from $35,000 to $100,000 annually. In 2013, 0.68% of communities of color, employees of color, were within that range. In 2018, we have 13% who increase. The increase has been significant, but if we go beyond $100,000 a year, there is still a gap. If we take, for example, 100 employees making $100,000 and over, we have 17% employees of color and about 83% white employees in 2013. In 2018, we have about 20% employees of color and 80% white employees. Again, we have made progress here, but we still have some work to do. The Office of Equity and Human Rights did all this work in collaboration with many other bureaus. The City Council was our first partner in approving our reports, but also supporting the policies, recommendations that we have made so far. The Bureau of Human Resources was very supportive in helping us integrating equity in the cultural competency training for our managers and supervisors. We did that from the beginning in 2012. The Bureau of Human Resources also helped us in create the Equity 101 training on the city learner system so that employees can register and also receive credits that establish some transparency and accountability in the training process. The Office of Community and Civic Lives, formerly ONI, worked with the Office of Equity and Human Rights by, borrowing, first of all, borrowing our equity and communications officer to help in the welcoming and inclusive sanctuary city task force process. We worked in collaboration with the Portland Housing Bureau from the beginning. Portland Housing Bureau helped us provide training for the coalition to end homelessness. And that has had some impact. According to their testimony,
in the work that they do by to end homelessness. We have also loaned our public information officer to the Housing Bureau when they didn't have any PIO at that time. The TC Budget Office worked closely with the Office of Equity and Human Rights to, first of all, design the budget equity tool, but also use that to analyze the budget proposals from all bureaus. We will continue doing that work in collaboration with all the financial analysts to improve the tool and also support the managers within bureaus on how to apply the equity tool in their budget process from the beginning instead of waiting until the end. Data sharing. The Bureau of Technology Services and the Bureau of Human Resources helped the office to collect data and create the dashboard that is available. I can tell you that when we go to conferences outside the city of Portland, many agencies across the nation congratulate the city of Portland for putting that dashboard, serving as a model for other cities. We have worked in partnership with many government agencies. I want to mention one, the West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District. We were consulted to work with them through the development of their diversity and equity plan. And we ended with a training for their elected officials, board members, and staff. And in 2017, our office received the 2017 Government Partners of the Year. It's a nice certificate that I'm proud of. We also partnered with many other agencies. I can mention the Governor's Office, the Oregon Department of Energy, the Office of Diversity and Equity and Inclusion at the State of Oregon. And other agencies include the City of Tacoma in Washington, the City of Oakland in California, the City of New Orleans, the City of Austin in Texas, the City of Buffalo in New York. We receive many calls, and some of them have visited the city of Portland to learn about how we have established the office and what are the programs that we are providing for the city of Portland. I want to end with a few challenges that we faced. The progress reporting on City Bureau's racial equity plans have been a challenge for us, and we are working with equity managers and other managers in the bureaus to find the best way to support the bureaus so that they can report on their implementation of the plans. Effectively setting citywide standards in a decentralized government model. We have faced that challenge, and we believe that the City Council will help us address those challenges. We also face challenges in elevating the disability equity work with limited staff capacity. We are at this moment seeing some opportunities. The change in leadership, but also the increased authority for citywide accountability from City Council. We also see an opportunity in the increased data and research opportunities for the City of Portland, and also opportunities to partner with communities on strategic plan. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, if we could have... Thank you, Kofi. I really appreciate it. Does anybody on the council have any questions? It's a fairly comprehensive report. So now we'd like to take testimony. Could you raise your hand if you'd like to testify? looks like we can do that within 15 minutes, which you asked for. So can we do that? Thank you very much. We didn't have a sign-up sheet since it's a report, and we don't usually take testimony on reports. This is an opportunity to start to continue a conversation before the council comes back with a work session later in this fall to look at both the opportunities and the challenges and decide how we want to move forward. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Three minutes now for the record.
I see not. This is okay. Yes. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Udaly, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Fish. I am Larry Cross, and I'm a member of the Portland Commission on Disability for 2 years. I believe in the importance of the Portland Commission on Disability, the city bureaus, the city council, other organizations, and the people of Portland. I want to succinctly describe, from my point of view, three specific areas the commission's importance and influence. First, the city council and city bureaus. I'm a member of PCOD's ABE committee, that's the Accessibility in the Built Environment. Each month, at least one bureau comes and visits us for our advice. Last week, two staff members from the city Bureau of Transportation sought our advice relating to scooters and public roadways. In the past and the future, PCOD has and will provide input to bureaus relating to improving building codes, advancing the concept of accessibility as a component of affordable housing, encouraging the implementation of ideas relating to visitability and universal design in the new housing projects, especially zero-step entry, and hopefully engaging with Prosper Portland, which seeks, quote, collaborating with partners for an equitable city, unquote. Second, working with other organizations now and in the future to improve life for everyone in Portland. Last December, the Portland Art Museum reached out to the Commission for advice on how to improve the museum's physical accessibility and to expand programs that increase ease of use for people with a wide range of various disabilities. PCOD's involvement also includes Commission members currently and in the future assisting the museum on the design of the Rothko Pavilion. I personally believe that the Commission should become involved with the problem of homelessness, considered by many people to be Portland's biggest challenge. The homeless, houseless population is too often overlooked in terms of disability. The 2017 Multnomah County point-in-time count notes that 72% of homeless, houseless people have disabling conditions. Third, the Portland Commission on Disability continues to emphasize inclusion as a guiding principle. And this is from John Donne, 1624. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. And that remains true today. And I will modify John Donne to 2011. No individual is an island entire in itself. Every person is a piece of the community. And as a personal goal of mine, as a member of the Portland Commission on Disability, and as a private citizen, I seek to continue to help create a Portland that increases inclusion for everyone. Thank you.
Talking about a strategic planning process and voicing some concerns that he had about current issues in our community. And it's that direct access with city commissioners that helps us make better policy. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, anybody who comes here and quotes John Donne is good with me.
Well, I think no person, everybody, not no man.
That's right.
The old days.
Yeah, it's good seeing you. Thanks for being here.
Can we hear the interpreter? Great. Hello, my name is Philip J. Wolf. It's really nice to be able to speak in my native language of ASL. Hello, Mayor Wheeler. Hello, City Council members, commissioners. Good morning. I've been a commissioner with PCOD. I'm now on my fourth term. For a number of years. And the reason that I am involved with Portland Commission on Disability is because as I've lived in Portland, I've noticed a lot of issues relating to accessibility, especially when it comes to providing accommodations according to ADA law. And I'm sure all of you are familiar with the struggles in the city of Portland with compliance with the ADA. I have a vision of ADA compliance meaning not just providing enough accommodation, which is what we've been doing so far, is meeting the legal requirements, but we all know that that's not enough. We need to be providing a vast amount of accommodations to meet everyone's needs. And unfortunately, from my experience, providing ADA awareness and trying to teach and train other bureaus and other city employees, I've been informed, you know, sometimes 5 minutes before a meeting that there's no accommodation or no interpreter, and that breaks my opportunity to train and teach and be involved. I have a lot of experience where I've showed up to various events that will not have a point of contact for accommodations. I myself have to make a number of calls or visit these places myself just to find someone. And I know even some city officials have had events that I've struggled to find who is going to be providing accommodations for me, oftentimes not even providing an interpreter for me. And that's information that I don't have access to. And if one of us from the deaf community don't have access, we all don't have access. I know that Commissioner Fish made a public statement during his campaign that he would not go to any public forums if it was not accessible, but I saw you show up to a number of them that were inaccessible to me. So there's just ways that I've seen this manifest in the city, and I wanted to provide maybe two options for solutions. And I have actually talked with Mayor Wheeler specifically. I want to make sure that you're hearing this, but talking about the money, because I do recognize that accommodations are often not provided because of budgeting issues. If we took 1% of the budget from each of the bureau, almost like a tax, the money collected would be able to provide accommodations for 1 year, sign language interpreters at those kinds of events. And I think that that would lessen the strain on a lot of these bureaus and smaller organizations that aren't able to provide the accommodations. I know that OEHR and City Council are sort of a parent and child relationship. We have that sort of connection and relationship, and I believe that a parent has an obligation to support their children. And so I believe that y'all, as our parents, should be involved with PCOD and OEHR directly and in person to guide us and give your input on how to develop and be here so that we can all continue to serve the community and really hear each other and gain a rapport and a better relationship as we develop these policies for the community. So just to sort of wrap up, I am continued to in my commitment to improve the access and the involvement of the deaf community here in Portland, and especially here just in City Hall and City Council. I've been here a number of times where I've seen exposure to different cultures through dance and music, Asian cultures, African cultures, Native cultures. I love all of the different performances and events that I've seen here. The exposure and the diversity is beautiful. I would love one day to expose Portland to the deaf community in the same way. We have amazing painters and performers, designers and musicians who are part of the deaf community, and I just want to offer myself as the resource for that to make that happen. The Portland Commission on Disability is proud to be involved, and I'm proud to be involved with all of this work. So thank you very much for your time today. And if there's any more questions for me, please feel free to let me know. You know I'm always here. I'm always trying to make myself available for all of you to provide the resources I have for the benefit of all of us. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Mary Legabo. Thank you so much for allowing testimony on this report. I'm here representing the West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District that Kofi mentioned earlier. Our district is a public service district, and it's dedicated to the conserving of resources, specifically soil and water, for people, wildlife, and the environment. As such, our work benefits the city of Portland's overall health and its viability. Our work is conducted in very close partnership with its residents and with a lot of the different bureaus that you all are working with. our board of directors, which is elected, as well as associate directors that are volunteer, have declared that the strength and vibrancy of our district rests on the principles of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Without this commitment, the district will be unable to succeed in its mission. In adopting the district's racial equity statement, sorry, I'm emotional just thinking about it, the board affirmed that gaining the perspective of many will increase the organization's overall strength, and that by working proactively and deliberatively to be equitable and inclusive, the district will be more successful in our work. We never would have gotten here without the Office of Equity and Human Rights, without specifically the work of Kofi and Judith. They met with us. They tailored a very impactful training. The Equity 101 training was what you just heard about, rooted in the history of our city, which is hard to take. Many folks that were unclear on why we were doing equity work were no longer unclear. We actually had one board member who was one of the ones that was a little unclear about why we were doing equity work literally say, aha, I get it, in the middle of the training. We had another board member talk about how transformative it was. I know for me that was certainly the case, and it empowered me to want to move forward regardless of how long the road ahead would be. One thing that Kofi spoke to over and over again was how it's about performance. So now that we've declared this hard work, we want to walk hand in hand with the Office of Equity and Human Rights and the City of Portland and all the bureaus we work very closely with to continue this work. We commend you for your vision in creating the office, and we ask you to continue to support and allow for the license for this important training to be allowed to outside partners as well as internal bureaus. Thank you again for this vision, and we look forward to continuing this hard work.
Carla?
I didn't have a sign up sheet, so I've got one more.
Yeah.
Come on up.
Welcome.
Hello, Mr. Mayor. My name is Richard Hernandez, and I would like to address, as you well know, there has been, a visual going on, of people, that want you to sign, discontinue the contract with ICE, and for me, it's a matter of judgment and morality of what we are doing to the immigrants, that are being, locked up in cages. People probably, I'm white, and I probably have some of the advantage, and overall people don't get, okay, of course they cross the border illegally, but one scenario is that they don't understand, these people that these immigrants are being detained in a detention facility. It all boils down because they're not white. Now, if there were white people like all these people around, people would be outright. But no, we seem to laugh and think, okay, they're illegal immigrants, and we just have them locked up in cages. And I want you to stop harassing the people that are holding the vigil until you come and have a meeting, with people there to sign to make this a sanctuary city. And even though I have a place to live, I come down and spend a lot of my time with the people doing the vigil because I share the goal and the beliefs what they're campaigning, and I do not like the way the Portland Police Bureau is using them, targeting them as a as a homeless camp. Let them have their encampment until you're willing to have this conversation. You know what they want, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard, and I appreciate your testimony. And just so you know, because it's something of a fragmented movement, but I did have a chance to meet with some of the folks who have been protesting outside of City Hall yesterday. And I think there was some confusion. Number one, the city of Portland does not have a contract with ICE. So there are some people who are wondering, why haven't we canceled our contract with ICE? There is no such contract, to be clear. Number two, there was confusion as to my role and the city's role with regard to ICE. ICE is actually a federal agency. We do not control ICE here. And I think every member of this council has certainly spoken up on the issue of ICE and immigration. I most certainly have. But we actually do not control that agency. It is a federal agency, and as such, that is controlled by the administration and Congress. So I'll just leave that at that. Commissioner Fritz, that concludes
so Mayor,
our public testimony. Commissioner
Fish. I want to just give one piece of feedback on something, because we've heard, I think, eloquent testimony today about the need to make our democracy more accessible. And what we learned in the last election cycle, either because of campaign websites that did not translate the material into multiple languages, or because of sponsoring organizations for various campaigns, for various events that did not provide fully accessible proceedings for people that were either that had a disability, however broadly you want to define disability. We do actually have leverage now to address that, and I hope to work with Commissioner Fritz to create code language under the open and accessible campaign funding system that requires candidates that receive money to take a pledge that they will run accessible campaigns, that they will not participate in events that are not fully accessible. And I think it's through that kind of leverage that we can really make meaningful change in making sure that everyone is heard at election time.
Thank you. Yeah, so, absolutely.
I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Udaly. Carla, please call the roll.
Udaly?
Well, I don't believe she's in the room, but she's the first voice we heard on that video, and I just want to wish Sharon Gary Smith a happy birthday. She celebrated her 70th birthday on Monday. She is a true force for justice in our city, and an inspiration to many of us in this room. Larry mentioned PCOD's work with Rothko Pavilion. I recently met with the director of the museum, and he shared with me that those conversations are actually ongoing, and because of PCOD's involvement, the museum is using a universal design approach to the whole remodel, which is incredibly exciting. And it may be the first kind of major arts institution to do so. So thank you for the thumbs up from Philip. It struck me when Jeff Selby was explaining the rationale for centering racial inequity, even though there is other inequity, certainly in our city, that centering racial inequity is another form of universal design. Because when you are addressing and serving the needs of the extremes, the middle takes care of itself. And that's true whether you're designing the entrance to a museum or a program designed to eliminate or decrease inequity. So thank you for that, Jeff. Mr. Wolf, it was beautiful to hear you speak in your native language. And I am disheartened to hear that you've received the message that we don't have the resources to provide accommodations for city program services and activities. No one should ever hear that message from the city. Of course, we can't control what goes on
in across the whole community. We can certainly help educate the community. I would love if we could provide resources, but I can't put us on the line for that right here and now. But just looking at our website, there's a request an accommodation or contact an ADA coordinator page that requires individuals to contact ADA coordinators in numerous different offices, and I see that that in and of itself is not very accessible, so I want to put it out there that I think we just need to do a much better job on making that request process as simple as possible and accessible as possible. Finally, I just want to thank Commissioner Fritz and former Mayor Sam Adams and everyone who was so vital in establishing this office as a still one of the newbies on City Council. I guess that will be the case until January. It was really helpful for me to get all that background, and I feel like through the process of participating in the video and this presentation, I have an even better understanding of the office. So thank you, Kofi and Jeff and Nicole and everyone in the room. I, of course, vote aye.
Fritz. Well, thank you, Commissioner Udaly, and I know from both your comments on the video and just now and what each of my colleagues will say, people have wondered, does the council care about equity? Is this just a buzzword that we talk about without really any meaning or any heart and mind commitment? And it's very clear that there's a lot of commitment on this City Council. So thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for the opportunity to, again, work directly with the Bureau and with all of the bureaus and with you on this. I think what has been absent for the past 5+ years is a commissioner who has the capacity to be able to be the voice to the community and to the city about the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And I supported both Mayor Hales and Mayor Wheeler in their desire to have the Office of Equity and Human Rights in their portfolio to emphasize its importance. Mayors get called in multiple different directions, which is an understatement of the year, right, Mayor Wheeler? And I am finding that there's a lot fewer public events in the Water Bureau than there were in the Parks Bureau. So
hopefully it'll stay that way. Hopefully it'll stay that way.
Yes.
Well, that's my wish for you.
I vividly remember your pump station opening, Mayor Commissioner Fish, which is kind of one of the highlights of what one gets to do as the Water Commissioner, because it's a lot of just very hard work on engineering things that not as many people want to know all the nitty-gritty details about. People important care about equity, and they care about racial equity and disability equity and many other forms of discrimination and inequity. And as Commissioner Udaly just explained, by focusing on the most severe, we intend to do better on everything. So thank you, Interim Director Kofi Dissu. You were part of the Office of Human Relations under Mayor Potter, a founding member of the Office of Equity, now doing a magnificent job as its interim director, and I really appreciate your guidance. And for the 11 staff in the Office of Equity and Human Rights, let's just emphasize 11 people did all this work that you just heard about. And it's been growing over time. I can't remember how we started. I think we started with 5, something like that. So we do, I look forward to collaborating with you and to figuring out what are the next steps, because this work has started, it has momentum, it's going to need more resources in order to get the right direction forward. Thank you, Jeff Shelby, for your amazing creativity and for telling the story when elected officials can't. And if anybody wants to share the video, it is up on the Office of Equity and Human Rights website. Theirs is one of the outstanding websites on the city's portfolio. Thank you, Andrea Valderrama on the mayor's policy team, Claire Adamsick and Tim Crail on my staff. And the city's equity managers, colleagues, I am going to be asking for your permission to meet with your equity manager staff and bring them together on a regular basis. That's something that hasn't happened as much as I think it should. And it needs both the staff in the office and experts in the Bureau to really dig deeply into the issues that are faced in the Water Bureau are going to be different from the ones in the Parks Bureau. And so